It's like being a Washington quarterback.
Love Talk Radio.
Every Washington Redskins quarterback.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
All right, here we go, people.
Just hit it, Rob.
Special Tuesday night edition, talking sports with the 12th man.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
So we just started on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
All we need is some tacos to go with that Tuesday now.
That's true. Taco Tuesday. Don't get me started, man. We're going to make them, but actually we're going to make them tomorrow. But, again, welcome to another jam-packed edition of Talking Sports from the 12th Man. Again, I'm going to tell you on Tuesday. I don't know if Lou's going to call him because he always doesn't seem to get it on Tuesdays, which is it's all good. But, again, we're ready for an amazing night here. Fellas, we got a lot of things to chop up. We got to chop up some NFL. We got to chop up some NBA. Free agency's been going on. College football. Underrated. Thanksgiving turkey. A lot of things we got to get into. So let's get this party started. Rob, hopefully you got the brand new Zoom info. If not, I just took it out. So hopefully can't wait to see you. But other than that, JQ, man, how you feeling, sir?
Man. Rough weekend. My Buckeyes about gave me a heart attack on Saturday, and then the Bengals did give me a heart attack on Sunday. So that was a tough weekend for my fandom. So I got my burrow on today for him. You know, hopefully he gets back here pretty soon. I mean, pretty much knee is shredded. And yeah, we talked it into existence. We talked about how they were going to get him killed, and they got him killed.
Yeah. I was hoping it wasn't going to be like, I was trying to watch what you put in the universe, too, JQ. So we were just saying that, again, that they just needed some protection. We didn't think that he was going to have a devastating injury like that because, you know, they're talking about him going to 2022. So hopefully it's not going to be that bad. He's a young buck. Hopefully he'll heal quickly and all that jazz, too, man. So our hearts are with you from that, JQ. So I know same thing that happened with Dak. You know, you're just kind of like devastated. You don't want to see that happen. Especially for a young talent like him, too. So it's just it gives the Bengals time to kind of like reassess and figure out maybe continue to add that. And as we know, get that offensive line straight, too. So, just another thing. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Ohio State, too. They pulled it out. Really good game. Justin Fields didn't play his best game, but they just enough to actually pull that out, too, man. So it's just one of those things, man. So, yeah. JQ shaking his head. It's all good, man. We'll get you, bro. I know. Rob Ford, how you feeling, bro?
Hey, man, doing great, you know. Ready for that big turkey day. Ready for some football on turkey day. Ready to make it do what it do, baby.
That's what's up. Congrats, man. See you again. We'll talk about the Saints and Falcons, but again, another conversation as well. Curtis and Gary, we had a good pregame chat, if you will. We were talking about how you guys are going to be watching America's team on Turkey Day and all that good jazz. And how you guys feeling this evening?
Feeling good. Ready to, you know, get this going. Definitely a lot to be thankful for. You know, being on this is a blessing for Curtis and I both. In our daily grinds of life, this is something that we both really look forward to. Visiting with you guys. Seeing how everybody's doing, getting different perspectives, learning a lot. We've learned a lot from you guys on this show, and that's what I'm thankful for.
And like I told you before we got on, both of my NFL teams won. The Broncos won and the Cowboys won. A little bit of surprise. But you guys don't understand how rare it is for this part. Where it is for Oregon and Oregon State football teams to win on the same weekend. That doesn't happen every day, and it's rare. It is a rare thing for this state when both of their college football teams win on a Saturday. And that happened this weekend. And I was also happy for Justin Herbert getting that win.
Yeah.
And Seth Lynn getting that win.
He played well, too. And, you talk about Oregon. I mean, UCLA, Chip Kelly gave him a run for their money. But, you know, in the end, Oregon came up big. To pull out the win there, so give them credit there.
Good call. Hey, Rob, it's a new week, by the way, too, so hopefully get in here, too. So, again, as you guys know, I'm always thankful for you guys. Again, just because it's been a joy getting to meet you, Gary, and talk with you, Curtis, too, in your fight, too, man. So whatever we need to keep that going through this crazy year, that's amazing. And then, obviously, JQ and Rob have especially Rob has been a habitual line stepper, if you will. But other than that, he's been somebody that's cracked me up, too. So, fun time. So, you know, keep it going as we get through this crazy year, if you will, too. So, we got Rob on. I'm going to fill out the numbers really quickly. Call us. Give us a shout. The same number, as always, the 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/ Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Rob posts all the mock drafts and any updates that we have, too. So we're going to get into this as well. So, gentlemen, what a great game. Monday night you have the Rams and you had the Bucks. And I guess the question that we're going to throw out to you guys, and as we always do with Rob, JQ, and Curtis Gary, is does Tom Brady still have it? And, you know, a couple times you're watching a couple games, some throws that he made, he overthrew a couple situations, had some interceptions. And you're starting to wonder, as you know, JQ talks about Father Time. Does Tom Brady still have it? Is the question. So go ahead, Rob, kick us off.
Well, I think what you're starting to see, you know, I mentioned it on a show quite a bit last year. If you really looked at the season, the last eight games of the season, he really struggled, and you have to wonder if it was his personnel around him in New England, or was it just Father Time catching up with him, or a little bit of both, right? And And this year, you know, the first game of the season against the Saints, he didn't look so great, threw a couple of picks. But he's had some games this season where he's actually looked pretty good. So he's been kind of hit or miss. I mean, last week against Carolina, he looked fantastic. The Bucs put up 46 on the board. But last night, you know, the Rams were able to put a lot of heat on him, forced him into some bad throws. And I think it's the kind of situation we're looking at here. Anytime you have a quarterback that's getting that kind of pressure, you know, he's going to make those kind of bad throws. And I think what you're starting to see here over the last few weeks, other than the Carolina game, is the offensive line has really been struggling with Tampa Bay. You saw the kind of pressure that the Saints put on him a few weeks ago. You saw the pressure that the Rams put on him a few weeks ago. And they're just knocking him off his spot. So I'm not going to say he doesn't have it anymore. But I don't think he's getting the support from his offensive line or even the coaching staff for protecting him, right? You know, going into some max protection kind of situations to support him. And so, like I said, I'm not going to, you know, write him off. I think there's a little bit of both here. I think he's still probably better than at least 10 to 15 of the starting quarterbacks in the league. But I think right now, like I said, he's just getting knocked off his spot quite a bit because of his struggles. I mean, Ali Marpet is out on the offensive line, and that could be part of it. But the offensive line just been getting whipped the past few weeks other than the Carolina game.
Yeah, and then when you watch him, he's just, like you said, he's so jittery. Like, he doesn't want to get hit at all. And, like, there's the quarterbacks, you know, I'm going to get hit some. I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to throw the ball. Yeah, he'll never sit there and say, be still. But they'll hang in there and throw the ball. But he sees that rush, and, man, it's almost sometimes like he sees ghosts. Because that first interception, I have no idea what he was thinking about on that throw. It was just, here you go. It was like, Miles just ran out there and just fumbled the snap. It was so bad. So I think part of that is that, you know, he doesn't want to get hit at all. And, you know, and he tries to go deep, but he really was missing a lot of deep throws. He was dinking and dunking. Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin underneath a lot of it. But when that Rams front four is pretty good. You know, Aaron Donald's getting double and triple team. Like, you got a monster on that defensive line for the Rams. But he's so used to him being so even keel. And this year he's so up and down. Like, you get a really good game from him, and then you get a really good bad game from him. And he's played bad games in prime time, which is, as much as I hate him, it's just unlike Tom Brady to play bad games in prime time. So I'm not sure. I mean, that whole I'm going to put Tom 45 thing, I think it's crazy. I always thought it was crazy. But then you see him this year. Another piece of it is I think they've got to find a better balance and try to. Like you said, you know, Buddy's out with the concussion. I think he missed like his third game with the concussion. This was his third game missed. But, you know, Bruce Arians wants to go deep down the field, and Tom is so used to that short passing game in New England. They've got to find a better marriage to make that work, because they look up and it's third and 10 because they took two shots down the field on first and 10 and second and 10. And you're like, dude, you got Fournette, but there's no catching himself. And Ronald Jones in the backfield, like, you can at least try to run and have some balance. So they've got to find a better marriage of philosophies between Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, I think, more consistently.
Yeah. Hey, I think one of the things that's interesting to me is if you really watch him on the deep throws, he's overthrowing them. He's not underthrowing them on the deep throws. He's overthrowing the – I didn't see much of the Tampa-Carolina game, but obviously the Sunday night game against the Saints a few weeks back, and then last night, I mean – I saw last night's game almost in its entirety. I saw it obviously against the Saints in its entirety. And one of the things I noticed is he's overshooting receivers. And he's actually overthrowing the receivers, which is really interesting. So the timing is just not there with his players. Or he's just rushing the strobes because of the heat he's been feeling with the pass rush in both of those games too.
Well, I don't think the pass rush was really – all that good. I was expecting the pass rush to be a hell of a lot better than it was. I was expecting the other guys with the double teaming of Aaron Donald to really come in and just beat the heck out of him. I think he was seeing, I don't know what he was seeing, because if they would get, I mean, he had a pocket a lot of times, and he's just throwing it away, getting it out of his hand. And I think, just like you said, JT, I think he was, seeing his own shadow. It was like the groundhog seeing his shadow or whatever it was. But, it was something like that. He was afraid to get hit, afraid to stand into the pocket. And then I think part of it is probably, preparation, coaching, not giving him – if you're going to throw it long, you better have some max protection in there. And you better have some sort of route that is going to get these guys open. And it didn't seem like they're setting him up for success. So I think it's him getting older and the coaching staff not setting him up for him. I think that's why you see in some of the games where he's playing really good, it seems like maybe there's weeks where they get it right, but they're not like New England. New England tends to get it right over the last 20 years, every week, or close to it.
Yeah.
But another thing that's interesting, too, is their running game is not there. So the play-action pass game is almost irrelevant, right? So he can't get the play-action pass going to go deep, too, and because they're either not sticking with the running game or they're just not effective with the running game. Which is surprising when you got backs like Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette, but the play action pass game is not even there for him.
Well, I said it at the beginning, and that's what I'm watching for this whole season. When these guys fall off a cliff, they fall off hard, and oftentimes undefeated. And can you imagine being 43? And having 22-year guys putting their helmets through you, I don't think that turned Tom Brady on. And I don't think he has an interest in getting his butt kicked. So there's a bit of that. And there's also what we're seeing nowadays. You talk about Deshaun Watson. You talk about the quarterback at Arizona. You talk about Russell Wilson. You talk about all these guys that, with bad line play, they roll out, they trick defensive players, they scramble, and all that. And you don't have that out of Tom Brady. He is not that kind of athlete anymore. I don't know if he ever was, And that's what it's going to take in today's NFL. Because for some reason, offensive line play almost everywhere is lacking. And to be a leader and a quarterback, you got to figure out how you can beat with the rollouts, screen passes, and this stuff to soften that rush on you. And that's one thing that they're not doing in Tampa Bay. And what happened is at one time I thought they could make it to the Super Bowl, and I don't think that anymore.
Ooh. Yeah, I know we just got Naj that joined, and I'm kind of agreeing with what JQ is talking about, too. I think the offense is a huge deal because you had the vertical offense that Bruce Arians had, and then more of the dink and dunk with the Patriots. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, Rob, you hit it because maybe, you know, even last year he wasn't playing well. I mean, but again, it was just like maybe that was the start of the end, and which is why, you know, they're like, hey, it's good to see you. It's been nice knowing you from Belichick. But, you know, again, there's somewhere in the middle because, like you said, he has a great game one week and then just a terrible game the next, too. So that consistency is not there. Naj, what's going on, boss? What's going on, boss?
Hey, what's up, man? What, y'all moved the show a day to try to hide or whatever? Yeah, I found y'all. You know what I'm saying? Speak of the devil and he shall appear. What's going on, fellas?
Well, you are a fool.
Next week, we want you to be on the show. It's on the second Thursday of next week.
See how they do?
No, we were trying to get it in.
How about he just old? How about that? I done heard every excuse except his controller buttons are sticking. Like, that man is 42 years old. Why are y'all acting like you expect him to consistently just be good? The rest of the coaches got cable, too. Like, they can watch games. They're like, yeah, they want to dink and dunk with this old man. We're going to make them go deep down the field. Like, that's what we're going to give up. It's kind of similar to what people are doing to Lamar. If you watch a lot of what Baltimore is getting done to him, people are giving him those 20-yard, you know, banana throws and some of those gap throws. Like, look, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to beat us deep consistently. And that's what Brady's getting. Like you said, he's missing long. And he's missing off timing. But, yeah, Tampa looks bad. I'm enjoying it. I couldn't have predicted a better season. And, yeah, this is a beautiful thing to watch him go down in flames. I can't wait.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. And they got the Chiefs this weekend. So, I mean, even though they're at home, you know, I mean, obviously, I'm picking the Chiefs to win that game. And, not just because I hate the Bucks, but, you know, they're going out on the left.
The Chiefs did the most ridiculous thing this week. I'm thinking, okay, how much time can you leave that team? Can you leave them 30? If they have 30 seconds, can they still beat you with 30 seconds?
Yeah.
That's scary. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, and then with the one thing about Brady that I didn't like was then after his loss, if he beats you, he's going to run out there and shake your hand. He'll even remember your name. So when he loses, Golf was out there running around trying to find him. Where's he at? You know, where'd he go? Brady's out under the couch. But you got to be good sport about it. You know, yeah, it's frustrating when you lose, but come on.
Yeah, he's too old
agreed.
For that. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah,
you got to be a better sport. He's way, you know, that's a young buck coming out of college to do stuff like that, man. Come on, man. 43 years old, you got to go shake that a team hand even after a loss, man. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah, he's
been on fire, but he did.
And the media doesn't grill him
them.
Hard enough for it. They see it. They may talk about it a little while, but they do not grill his ass like they would do anybody else.
Right.
Cam Newton, we can't do
the golden boy. You can't grill me. You can't grill me.
But,
shout out to
no.
Good. I was gonna say really quick. Shout out to the all black crew too, man. Refereeing that game, man. That was great to see. By the
that
way,
was awesome.
I just want to make sure that we push. I know they did it on purpose too, but it was just great to see to that man. So I was like, yeah, man.
One of
got pictures of it. You know, yeah. Go ahead.
one of the classiest things you've seen the NFL do in quite some time. It was
that was
very classy on last night. Still a lot more work needs to be done, but that was definitely a very classy move by the NFL. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Andre, man, you got your business attire going, man. You got the vest going. What's going on?
Yeah.
Got to look like an extra from Boys to Men.
I'm the
fifth singer from Boys to Men.
That's right, JQ. I'll pull it out, man.
All you got to do is give it that Hawks hat. You might be good.
I was telling Curtis, and don't tip me. I was telling Curtis and Gary I had a lot of business, and just kind of spilled over. So I'm in the office right now. So it's just one of those days, you know. Like we're not trying to hire from you now. It's just everything is kind of piled up, and just getting prepared for cooking and for everything. So it's just it's been a long day, but I'm excited to have you guys here, man. So let's finish Establish Strong if you will too. So all good. Appreciate the shout out. So. Let's get the most valuable player watch by Rob here. So go ahead, Rob, kick us off. We'll let Curtis and Gary talk about the Rams defense, if you will. But go ahead.
Yeah, I took some notes here. Let me put it up on my phone. But, yeah, my top five obviously has been fluid from a week-to-week standpoint. And it may be kind of surprising to you all, but I got Patrick Mahomes as kind of like the runaway leader right now. He's kind of separating himself on a weekly basis and pulling away. I mean, we have Russell Wilson. We had Aaron Rodgers at some point this year. We even had Josh Allen. But right now I got Patrick Mahomes as the runaway leader for the MVP race. And you're going to surprise me, but I'm going to surprise y'all. But I actually had Alvin Kamara as the number two, leading the NFL in overall yards from scrimmage and one of the leading touchdown guys in the league as well. And he's been the catalyst for the Saints, you know, leading the NFC right now. But I moved Kamara up to number two in the MVP standings. I got Aaron Rodgers number three. I got Josh Allen number four. And I moved Russell Wilson back in the top five after this past weekend. I know he's had a couple of shaky performances here in the last 5 weeks, but I moved Russell Wilson back at number five.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Like, I feel like, you know, Pat Mahomes, we kind of took it for granted earlier in the year, and he was, like, fourth or fifth or sixth on our list, and now he's back up to number one to a bullet because, like you talked about, like, you can't give him any time left on the clock with that offense, and he just goes down the field, doop, 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 and you're like, field goal, man, watch this, touchdown, ball game. So, yeah, I think it's Patrick Mahomes because you look at it, we talked about, you know, Aaron Rodgers just took a loss, Tom Brady just took a loss, Murray took a loss to Seattle. Like, everybody we talked about that was in our top five last week just about all took a loss. And we kicked Russell Wilson out, and he got a win, so you got to put him back in there. And then, you know, Josh Allen, it's like they've been on bye for 3 weeks. So, like, I don't even know what Josh Allen goes to now. Like, it's a forever since I've seen Josh Allen play. So, to me, it's Patrick Mahomes. I'm with you, Rob. It's Patrick Mahomes and a whole bunch of other people just eating his death at this point. He's peaking at the right time, putting that team on his back. Even though Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a really good game, I was more worried that they were going to give Le'Veon Bell more run than they are actually giving him, which is not a ton. He's more of a change of pace back. I thought they would maybe do more of a 51-49 piece, but they're letting the rookie, you know, get his shine. But Patrick Mahomes, man, he's been phenomenal. He's crazy.
Curtis? Well, I want to say, and I don't think this is going to happen, but if Pittsburgh can stay undefeated, ooh, it will be Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think it can happen, but it might, especially if they win on Thursday night. They may be an undefeated team going into the playoffs, and Ben Roethlisberger will get a big lookout.
He should maybe at least be in the top five, bottom of the top five, but at least be in the top five for, you know, his portion of that undefeated team. He's got a lot of people around him. But you know what? He's one of those guys that's that upright in the pocket quarterback, but he's still not afraid to stand in there, get hit, move around. He doesn't seem to be afraid of the shadow right now like Brady, like we saw Brady this last weekend.
I still think the Steelers' defense has been the catalyst for their undefeated season so far.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think. Roethlisberger's been solid. Now, I won't take anything away from him, but I still don't have him in my top five. I think the Steelers' defense has still been the catalyst overall for their success. And you know, they put together quietly a nice wide receiver trio there with Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Juju there. So, you know, they put together the offensive line has been playing pretty good. But overall, it's been about their defense, and their defense has definitely been ferocious. Even though rankings-wise, they're not number one, but, you know, with points allowed, obviously that's the key category there. And they've been tough to score on all year long. And I think they beat the Ravens on Thursday night, too. They're at home. Ravens got a couple of COVID cases on their team. You know, it's questionable if J.K. Dobbins is going to play. Yeah, and so it's right now the game's still on schedule, and I think that just is going to hurt the Ravens anymore. So I think the Ravens win that game at. I'm sorry, I think the Steelers win that game at home, and I'm going to go 24-10 Steelers, 2-touchdown win.
If they play, yeah, that's crazy. The NFL don't care, man. They got that Ravens whole facility shut down out there with COVID. They said, shit, we're playing this game on Thursday night. We've been waiting on this for weeks.
Y'all can suck that.
And then we, you know, the NFL want to play that game when you got Detroit and Houston and Dallas and Washington during the daytime.
Right.
They need some fireworks that night. But ain't it funny how we get all these COVID cases during the week and shut down the facilities, but somehow the game, hey, everybody passed. Everybody's good. Like, yo, this NFL, man, game's got to be played. So
yeah.
It is what it is.
I know. The NFL's like next man up. That's what they always been. That's like a regular injury.
They say you got a practice squad, don't you?
Yeah. It's like next man up. We, you know,
moment,
when guys get hurt, we still play. When guys get COVID, we still play.
But as far as MVP, it's like we talked about last week. Everything is fluid with the NFL this year. There's nobody who's head and shoulders above everything. And Kansas City, truth be told, may be picking up some bad habits with the idea that we can always pull a rabbit out of the hat. Sometimes really good teams do that, and they have that moment in a playoff situation, and guess what? It doesn't go to script. You either fumble or you make a turnover or something to where you don't get that magic moment and you end up just throwing away a season where you could have repeated. So Kansas City, I don't know if they're playing down the competition. There's some talk with Pittsburgh that with two, where we saw the Dallas game and a few other games to where Pittsburgh, where you thought they would blow doors, you know, it got kind of competitive. But, yeah, those receivers are good, and none of us thought when AB was gone, we thought Juju was going to carry the crown out there in Pittsburgh, and he's now the third worst receiver on the team. Like, Deontay Johnson is a serious WR1. I don't know where the hell he's from, but that kid
healthy.
Is serious. And my son Claypool, of course, they made him in the lab. Like, yo, they're dangerous, man. They're dangerous. And then,
I know,
what I said weeks ago about your coach. Out there in Cincinnati. We said this weeks ago, and you agree with me. Love Joe Burrow. Love to see the kid progress. They're throwing too much. They're putting too much on his shoulders. And, of course, injuries are anomalies. You know, it is what it is. But if you create the situation where it could happen more easy, that's it. Having a young guy throw the ball 40 times a week. Don't do that.
We talked about that.
I just wanted to say my piece on it.
I'm in my Burrow jersey right now.
I want to see that kid be great, man. Right. I want to see that kid be great, dude. I don't like it.
Yeah. It hurted me to see that, too. You know, obviously, you know, what he did for LSU and things of that nature. So, yeah, that you know, really hurt. And, you know, I think this season the Cincinnati Bengals has been everybody in Louisiana's second favorite team. And to see him go down like that was really it was really tough to see. Obviously, you know, obviously we know he's going to bounce back, but definitely that was a really tough situation to watch. And now the Bengals got to turn to Ryan Finley for the rest of the season. And
why is Mofo even on the roster? Who wants Ryan freaking Finley? Oh my God, have mercy.
Hey, y'all don't want Dalton to stay as the backup, man.
That's right.
No, I don't want Dalton either. But we can't find somebody else. Like, for real.
Hey, DQ, all I'm saying is LeMay Sue, the offensive tackle from Oregon. You better hope Cincinnati gets him in the first round. LeMay Sue, offensive tackle from Oregon. That's who the Bengals need.
If they don't pick anybody else, they're gonna might as well light Paul Brown Stadium on fire, because you're gonna keep Burrow. He ain't gonna win another game, so we're gonna be in the top five. Like, it will be a full blown ride in Cincinnati if you sit there and you don't take that dude from Oregon and with the third pick or whatever pick they're gonna get. They ain't winning no more games, so they are top five. That's a lock. They're winning more games. Ryan Finley,
keep mixing on IR and lose some more. Like, I agree. But there does have to be something said about the NFL being a brotherhood. If you're a defensive end, I don't care if you're losing a battle or whatever. Like, diving at a guy's knees, bro, that can't just be about a penalty or a fine from the league. It has to be about, like, self-policing within the NFL players. Like, yo, man, we don't do that. Like you can't do that, man. You can't mess up promising futures because you're trying to get a rush and now you're diving at a guy's leg. Like, that has to stop.
You.
That's worse than targeting to me, bro.
True.
I agree.
Yeah, we're on the same page. Thanks for that, Naj. Hey, let's talk about it. I know, you know, speaking of COVID and all that stuff, Curtis Gary, the Cowboys, they had their practice canceled actually, this is a medical emergency. Please forgive me about that. I'm thinking it's COVID actually related, too. So, do you guys have any details about that?
Well, Melby initially thought the strength and conditioning coach, I don't have his name written down here, but that he had someone tweeted that, you know, like he had passed away or something. And then they deleted their tweet, but several other people tweeted about it. But apparently he's in the hospital and they're giving him some sort of treatment. I don't even know exactly if he had a massive heart attack or what it was. But the initial thought was that he had passed away. He'd gone to the hospital and passed away. And several of the players, I just read that just before we got on. I'm like, what happened? And as I read through it, then they said that they had deleted these tweets and that sort of thing. But other than that, no other update on that, other than their 11:30 practice or whatever was canceled.
Yeah, don't seem to be any major updates on it, other than there was, you know, like Gary said, you know, medical emergency here with the strength and conditioning coach. So obviously our prayers and thoughts go out to him and the Cowboys team. And hopefully he's okay and recover. But they're not really saying much about what his current condition is at the moment.
Yeah, and now I said something last week that I went home and thought about. With COVID and all the stuff that's going on, you really can't predict out past two games in the NFL. But the NFL is doing as hard as they can to get through a season and get to a Super Bowl. And they let extra people remember, they let extra people on these teams this year to accomplish this goal. And it's working so far. But it's hard to forget with what we're dealing with, what's going to work and what's not.
Yeah, injuries and all that is going to happen too. So good call on that.
What I'm concerned about is are we going to have a Super Bowl with no fans or with limited fans? If this virus keeps going, and it's right now it's blowing up all over.
Right.
To have a Super Bowl with no fans would be.
Yeah. Hey, right now, the NFL is saying 13,000 fans right now. Here in Tampa right now, 13,000 is what the latest estimated fan number the NFL has gone with. And most of the Super Bowl festivities we're hearing are going to be virtual, or even media day, and et cetera. So it's going to be interesting. And I still think there are going to be people flocking down here to Tampa. But right now, it's still only about 13,000 scheduled fans, and, you know, that's obviously subject to change. You know, we're making some progress on a vaccine. I hear they may start distributing about 6 million of them next month, but obviously it's going to go to, 65 and older and frontline employees first, and, first responders. So, you know, it'll still be a while before we get it mass distributed. But that's a start, right? I think it's a start in the right direction here. We need some hope. Yeah, we definitely need some hope. And I think, you know, you're going to start to see things start heading in the right direction here really soon.
Look, I'm in Georgia, so don't take this as a slight. But if there's anywhere that you would not want to be in the midst of a pandemic, it would be Florida. The idea that Florida man and Florida woman are expected to be responsible for something like this. Like, look, man, I know it sounds sad, but think about it in these terms. We are in uncharted territory, and this could be a historic thing that you tell your grandkids about. In 2020, there was a Super Bowl. Nobody was there. Like, it's not a bad thing. It becomes a special thing to where it's like, yo, we overcame and we're still able to do some normalized things because we're willing to sacrifice. So even if it is a game with no people, bro, it'll still be dope. It'll just be something special in your life that happens.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it'll still be cool.
Yeah.
It's the old saying, this too shall pass, right? You know, this storm will pass. Yeah. And we'll get through this, and we will see the sun again.
Will pass. You'll be good.
I like that. But I was just telling Gary on the way over to his house that there are some things happening with me that I might have the money to be able to tell you guys to start making plans. And we got a motorhome. And I had plans on the way over here of trying to get us all down to Ybor City and Tampa. If we were able to get tickets, or just be at a tailgate and do the show from a tailgate and post it up and show all of us in one place, I might have the money to do that.
Cuban sandwiches, here we come.
What we were talking about today.
What's that, Rob?
Cuban sandwiches, here we come.
Yeah.
What you know about Ybor City? Yeah, you gotta watch service, man. What you know about Ybor City?
Well, trouble, right?
Obviously, Jay Kimo, Joe Kimo jumped up when he heard Ybor City.
Hey, Ybor,
I thought it was about that.
Ybor City's off the chain, man. I think that, you know, if you talk about the club spot in Florida, and I lived in Florida, I would much rather go to either Ybor City or Church Street, Orange Avenue in Orlando than I would South Beach. I think they're way more happening, in my opinion.
Ybor City is nice. The only problem is nobody down there wearing masks right now.
No, they're not.
And that is a statement by a man of a certain age, because nobody else thinks that, but people our age. Like, young folks are like, hell no, we going to South Beach.
Yeah.
Our age, yeah, that's more our age.
They don't want to be bumping and grinding with a mask on.
I was down there a few weeks ago in Ybor City, and I was like, man, nobody's wearing a mask.
that's the problem with Florida. I mean, I don't even think the government takes this serious down there in Florida. But I mean, I'm gonna have to do some soul searching, and maybe for me, it's not a good idea to try to get us all down here.
Not this year, man.
Yeah.
That
would be fun if we can pull that off. It definitely would be.
Yeah.
Right. And I literally can walk to the stadium from where I live. I mean, literally.
Braggart.
Hey, man, it's around the corner. Old Atlanta tradition. It's an old Atlanta tradition, man. We'll get them next year. You know what I'm saying?
Damn, Nas. Come on, bro.
That's what we do down here.
And I don't want to bring this down.
Nod your heart trying to put together a team, man.
I'm so low-key excited. I'm trying to hold it in.
I think I could do this Super Bowl, but I don't know if I'll be able to do another one.
Hey Curtis, we're gonna hold off for you, man. That's gonna be amazing if we can pull it off, man. So we're gonna keep that prayer up, man. Keep you going, man. So
yes,
we can definitely do that, man. Hopefully, but for sure. JQ doesn't believe in what the Hawks are doing, man. We just literally got Bogdanovich as well, man. We got him, man. So that
he's in.
Yes, man.
Yeah.
Sacramento
didn't match it.
Match the offer, man. Yeah, we got Bogdan. Yeah,
they put a poison pill in it.
So,
come on, man. If y'all don't stop it, y'all are so excited about being the seventh seed and losing in the first round. I can't even understand.
JQ, give us our damn. This is the one thing we got, bro. We finally got something up for Trey, man.
The house
got
of highlights,
squad,
baby.
Man.
It's going down.
That's right,
man.
Gallinari.
We got Boggy.
Chris Dunn. I didn't think that was going to happen either. I'm like, Chris Dunn, too?
When's the last time somebody got crunk because they got Gallinari? Oh, son, we got Gallinari. Like, get out of here, man. Y'all going to be the seventh seed. You know it.
That's okay. I can't wait, JQ. I cannot wait, man. And I hate
Do you understand
even
how long we've
right
been
there.
Tanking?
Like, yeah,
on,
man.
We need this.
You need that seven seed.
Some scoring.
We need that.
Well,
that's okay.
When you think about it, JQ, they might can get to the five seed. I mean, you got Clint Capella, Bogdy, and Gallinari, Rondo.
If you don't stop telling those lies, what you say? A lot don't care who tell it.
I said Mike.
Come on,
that's
man.
A nice lineup. It's a nice lineup.
They're not going to beat the Bucks. They're not going to beat the Nets. They're not going to beat the Sixers. They're not going to beat the Celtics. I mean,
well, I take that back, JQ. You're right. The sixth seed. It might get to the sixth seed.
Thank you. I was like, no.
That's realistic.
Yeah, sixth
seed.
We're in the playoffs, We're gonna be a matchup nightmare for somebody. That's all I'm saying.
They got a lot of shooters though.
There is a chance.
You're gonna be a nightmare matchup for them strippers in Magic City when it's over. Y'all can just hustle right down over there today.
That is home court advantage.
Yeah, that's true.
Limit the wings, man. You know what I'm saying? Oh man, thank you, Aiden.
Even though back in the early 2000s, one night I seen Iverson in the club. It's like 3:30, drunk, about to throw up everything out of there. Next night he drops 40 on the Hawks like nothing happened the night before. I was so disappointed. I thought our home court advantage would have worked, but no, he partied, still balled, and rolled out of town like nothing happened.
Oh my goodness. There's so many stories. I've got some stories like that, too.
That reminds me of James Worthy at the Lakers. He was in Houston and was in jail for being in a flop house. They let him out in time to go to the games. And I think he dropped 40 or 50 on Houston that night after being arrested for being in a flop house.
That's why they call it Big Game James.
Right. The good Lord did not invent cell phones and Instagram back when the Lake Show was really going down. They don't tell them what those brothers would have done to themselves. Like they might have never won a chip if you had Instagram.
That's what you're saying.
But the Nelson announced that on the pregame. Here's James coming out of jail for being arrested in Houston. They announced that another thing that happened in those days was Alice English or somebody had everybody served on the bench on some business deal they got into that went south. And had everybody on the bench at an NBA game, had the guy come down and serve these guys while they were on the bench. being sued for the money.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Let's get these predictions.
There are stories for days about NBA players being tricked into bad investments, and that's just one of them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
One of many. Yeah. We're going to get some predictions. That's good, Naj. I was going to say really quickly, just to kind of back up your story, Steve Francis had a story about Sam Cassell doing the exact same thing to him. Like, you know, he was over there drinking, and he thought he was drinking, like, alcohol, and he was over drinking cranberry juice, and, you know, Sam Cassell dropped, like, 50 on him or something crazy like that. He was like, what the hell just happened? He's like, I learned ever since then. He's just like, what? What did you say? Come on, rookie. Why you? He like, got him, man. That was, like, classic story, too, by the way. So,
yeah.
Oh, man, good stuff. Hey, Rob, let's get to these. Go ahead. Go ahead, Naj. What you about to say?
No, I'm sorry, man. I wasn't trying to get in the way.
I thought you said something. Okay, cool. Let's get these predictions real quick, man, because we got to get to some fantasy shout-outs and the top 32 prospects so we can get JQ excited as well. Hey, first and foremost, right out the gate, we got the Ravens and the JQ's favorite team, the undefeated Steelers here. So I think Gary said it earlier.
Undefeated team is his favorite team.
Gary said it. That's a
0-0 tie.
Going to go undefeated. So, Rob, go ahead, man.
We talked about this earlier. The NFL needs this game on Thursday when you got Detroit and Houston and Washington and Dallas during the daytime. I mean, come on. Do you sleep in on Thanksgiving Day, or do you wake up to watch Detroit and Houston and then Dallas and Washington? But,
We'll be watching it. You'll be watching America's team. Just like you will next year and the year after. And 10 years from now, you'll be watching America's team. That's what they do on Thanksgiving. But Detroit was very much a hard watch this Sunday. They were a hard watch to watch this Sunday.
The only reason I'll be watching
Matt
just because I got some fantasy players on the Houston Texans team.
Dude, I've been
Will Fuller
kitchen,
and Brandon Cooks. That'll be the only reason I'm going to be watching. But anyway, getting back to the game. I like the Steelers in this game. I like them big, too. I like them by two touchdowns. I'm going to go 24-10 here. I think Baltimore's going to have trouble scoring. You know, the running back position is up in the air for the Ravens right now with Mark Ingram. And J.K. Dobbins here. So I think the Steelers, I know Ben Roethlisberger is questionable, limped off the field a little bit this past weekend. You know, I don't think he's going to be, I don't think he's going
to
keep him out of this game. I think he
Shout
plays. I think he's
all.
Effective.
He's
Yeah. I think the Steelers win this game almost pretty handily, but the NFL needs this game on Thursday.
Yeah, man, I need J.K. Dobbins. And them to stay out of the Inner Harbor, out there drinking, out there partying, and this round got the COVID. But yeah, I agree. And plus, even if you have them and Gus Edwards, you're gonna have a long day trying to run against that Pittsburgh defense. I think they ranked through the first or second in rush defense. So if your strength of your game is running with Lamar and those guys, and you take two of those guys away, and you're going against that stronger rush defense, I feel like Baltimore is gonna come out and play a little harder because they just. I mean, they've been crapping the bed here. And that defense that was hurting people is really taking a step back. But I think they still lose it, but I don't think they get whooped. I think it's about a 3-7-point game. They put up a good fight. But I hate Pittsburgh, but every week you see them just finding a way to finish the game and win. So I'm going to be there for that.
Yep.
I agree with that. I believe that the Steelers are going to win this game. I don't believe they're going to go undefeated. That was Curtis's thought. Just to clarify that, gentlemen. But I do think this week Steelers are a much better team, and they're going to get the win. Probably, I would say, between 7 and 9 point victory.
700 to 5.
Yeah.
Well,
and I agree with that assessment. I think they will lose at some point. I mean, I don't know when. I mean, just taking it week to week, but – I think they win this week, but at some point they're going to give at least a loss here before the season is up.
It's going to be something crazy. Go ahead.
I think the NFL is in Lamar's head, and I think the NFL with film and all the stuff they do, they've turned Baltimore into a one-dimensional offense.
Yeah.
And that's not successful in the NFL. And
true,
it doesn't look like Lamar's going to be able to beat you in the air. He hasn't proven that. And if Pittsburgh gets up front, another thing Lamar hasn't been able to prove is that he can come from behind on anything.
Go ahead, Naj. I know you're about to talk about it.
No, I just say, hey, listen to whoever's mic'd up. You're going to hear Pittsburgh calling out their plays, Greg Roman. This ain't no different than San Francisco, man. Late in San Francisco, right before Harbaugh left town, everything Greg Roman did was predictable. So same thing here. Look for Pittsburgh to smash them. I'll go further. I won't say two touchdowns. I'll say we might be looking at a shutout. Thanksgiving beatdown.
Wow.
Okay. Thanksgiving beatdown from Naj. Okay. We're going to keep this going.
He won't be writing Greg Roman's resume for him, I tell you that.
Greg Roman's like, come on, man. That's my cousin. Hey,
it's the same place. It's the same place.
He's right. You're right, Naj. It's like, how the hell does guy get a job? At least open up the damn offense. That's like you said, they were calling up the plays and shit like last week. Like, yo, they run to this. Oh, man. Yeah, sorry.
Nah, Andre Cousin.
I mean, the cuss, man. I'm sorry. It's been a long day. A couple weeks ago, JQ talked about this matchup, the Titans and the Colts. And again, we all went against them. And now it's time for a rematch. And we talked about how the Titans couldn't get enough pressure on the Colts. The Colts had a sneaky good offensive line. And Philip Rivers had enough chances to make plays. JQ, I'm going to start with you. Do we think that the Titans get some payback, or is it going to be the exact same formula, if you will?
I think the Titans get some payback. And the only reason why I say that is that Phillip Rivers, I think, sprained his ankle or his toe or something at the end of that game. And you saw Brissett. They kept bringing Brissett in. I don't know if he's going to have long enough, because when you're 23, that ankle sprain, you can get it, you know, hyperbaric chamber and all that good stuff in a week. When you ask, you're about 37, 38, 40 years old, that ankle don't hear as fast as you feel. And it's the yin and the yang with the Titans. And I think they have that in their mind where they got beat. You go beat a good Baltimore team, but you lose to a bad Cincinnati team. So it's like the Tennessee Titans, we the real team stand up, because you have this wide spectrum of wins and losses. But in that division, they cannot get swept. And it's the same reason I said that when all eyes were pointing to Arizona was going to beat Seattle, the way Kyler Murray was playing and Russell Wilson wasn't playing well, and Seattle found the way to win that game to get a split. I feel like Tennessee, they have to, really any hopes in that to win that division, not have to be a wild card, they have to get a split. So I'm going to go with Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill, and Derrick Henry. That dude is just a monster, dude. He walk off, touchdown runs. He's good luck tackling that guy.
Yeah.
That's true. Good luck.
Hey, you talked about Derrick Henry running the rock, you know, one of the best running backs in the league, obviously. Tennessee can look incredibly great in some weeks, and in some weeks they lay an egg. You know, we talked about the fact that their pass rush has been non-existent this year. But I tell you what, the Colts are on a high right now. I mean, you get the big win against the Packers over the weekend. You know, they got some turnovers against Green Bay this past weekend. Their offensive line is one of the best in the league. They got a nice rotation at running back. I say the Colts win this game with or without Phillip Rivers. Even if Jacoby Brissett plays the entire game, I like the Colts in this matchup this weekend. I think the combination of their defense and their offensive line, I think the Colts wins in the trenches. They win at home. I'm going to go Colts 27, Titans 21.
Well, I think that I think you're wrong. I think JQ's right.
Hey, you picked the Packers with JQ last week, and what did that get you?
This is a different week. We go in three game segments, remember? When you listen to
Atlanta, week, you didn't even stick with JQ when he picked the Saints.
Hey, I'm talking about this week right now. You're wrong.
I hate you, Rob.
Thank you. I agree with what you said.
I hate you, Rob.
What do you got, Curtis?
Damn.
I like him.
Damn.
And that quarterback they got, he wants to win games. I still don't trust Phillip Rivers enough to get this done this week. So I think it might go into overtime again, And then you might see another Henry walk-off game.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it so much.
I'm going to
let
Nash speak, but go ahead. What's your pick, Curtis? Go ahead, Nash. No, I said
another Derrick Henry
walk-off. Yeah, I'm with Curtis. I'm with Curtis. I picked Tennessee last week, and I think I'm going to pick him again. On that fast track in Indy, Derrick Henry's going to be hard to handle. But I think the difference maker is going to be A.J. Brown getting one-on-one coverage and making some big plays with Tannehill in the passing game.
You were the only one who picked the Titans last week, so we give you credit, Nas. So, yeah, you picked them to beat Baltimore. I think all the rest of us picked the Ravens last week.
I tell you, if Cantley can hold to the ball, Green Bay would win that game. I don't know what LaFleur and them was doing. They was crushing Indianapolis and took their foot off the gas pedal. That was stupid.
I don't even know what happened with that. I'm just going to say you know, Gary,
should have
really
the famous words of Jim Maher.
Yeah, I mean, but you can't be up that big and lose that game. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Really quickly, Gary, I do have to say I appreciate you picking the Falcons. We don't know what team's going to show up. And again, the sheer theocracy of
yes,
our offensive coordinator to sit here and talk about we had a week to prepare, and I don't know why we fell for that bullshit. He's like, all right, we prepared, we ready. And so what? Only gave up. We only scored 9 damn points.
You falling back
that's
in
a whole
chair. Other
thing, man. So again, I don't even know. I mean, they had Taysom Hill. I mean, I'm thinking, all right, this is first game.
Yeah, Roddy White talking all that trash.
That. I ain't saying that. You know,
when Dre get mad. It's so fun.
But it was just upsetting to sit here and say, you know, man, we had a week to prepare. Like, okay, it's our rival. We're gonna do it. We're gonna play a little bit better. And you know, we started out pretty good. Calvin, you guys can't cover Calvin Ridley. He has little moments. Marshall, you know, Lattimore wasn't playing. We had an option. I'm like, okay, we can do this. What the hell? We got to blow that shit up, man. This is unbelievable. I'm sorry. Upsetting. I mean, we have some talent, but, I mean, damn. I mean, 9 points? That's what you give me after you sat there and said we had a week to prepare? Did we even run the damn ball? I mean, y'all was 8 sacks. Y'all were I'm like, dude, run some draws, run some screens. I mean, damn. I just sit there and like, we know he's gonna. He dropped back again. He put up a match protect and he still fucking sacked us. What the hell? I was so pissed.
Sorry. You won. Hey, out of chair, man. Come on, man. We don't want you to get injured ranting about the Falcons.
That's what you want, because you are
saying,
still pissed. Let's put that in the present tense.
This dude was in the pocket like he had 10 seconds every play. I'm like, okay, you're not going to throw it away again? Yeah, force something. Do something. Throw the ball. Something. I've never been more disappointed in a Matt Ryan performance. Like, I expected us to lose a shootout. I didn't expect us to get shut down like that. Like,
that's
bro,
what I was
thinking
too. Yeah, at least it'd be a close game. Yeah, we didn't expect that. So it's all good. So congrats, man. You know,
yeah.
Saints
defense has been really stepping up. I think they're up to number 3 in the league in overall defense right now. You saw it a couple of weeks ago against Tampa when they held the Bucs at 3
Isn't
points in that game. So, I mean, between the pass rush and stopping the run and the pass, the secondary, the defense, they've really been playing outstanding.
Have some Buckeyes back
there.
We can
put Matt Ryan on IR. Put him on IR so we can lose some more. Like, go to the house.
Do something.
You and Julio, sit down. Let's lose these games. Get these picks.
We guarantee the top 10. We guarantee the top 10 right now, too. That's what we got going.
I think Raheem Morris is the guy long term.
No, hell no. Not in the ballot. Just no. We got to get rid of. We got to clean house. Everyone's got to go, man. We got to start fresh, man.
He said but hell no.
We got to start fresh, man. It's just too much, man. That, we want that.
What was Cincinnati picking up Cooper Rush? Time. He's off the market. Sorry.
The last game is the Chiefs at the Bucks. If we're not crazy, I'm thinking everyone's going to pick the Chiefs for this game. You know, again, we think that the Bucks will put together a spirited game, but I think the confidence of the Chiefs is pretty high right now because whenever – Mahomes came in versus the Raiders. You knew he was going to score. He just went. There was no doubt in my mind they're going to throw and actually score on the Raiders, man. So they're playing high, man. So that's something I would say. I think everyone's probably on the same page. If you want to talk about that. It's always fine. We're hitting the 12 o'clock point, if you will.
Oh,
so, Rob,
you know I'm going the other way. I'm going the other way, Rob.
You're going bucks in this one? Okay, okay.
Me
oh,
too.
Yeah. I'm going for the upset in this one. Definitely.
All right, so Patrick and Nas and JQ going bucks in this one?
I am.
Thinking the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs.
They're going to hear all year. They're going to hear all week about how Tom Brady's done and Bruce Arians. Everything we just talked about, they're going to hear and probably put in a loop, and they're going to come out fired up. I'm telling you, it's going to be a shootout, though. It's going to be a great game to watch, but I think the Bucs win.
I think it's going to be a shootout, too, because the Chiefs' defense hasn't been playing that well lately here. So I do think it's going to be a pretty high-scoring game. I could definitely kind of see a score similar to what we saw with the Chiefs and the Raiders the other night. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs with the same score, 35-31 over the Bucs.
Curtis, I got to go with the Chiefs also. And the Chiefs, they kind of remind me of when Golden State was just raining threes on everybody in basketball those years ago. They're just a team that just seems like they're not worried about it.
If
you guys let us have the ball last, you guys are going to lose.
Splash, brothers.
Well, what Nog said is correct. You know, you get a team that gets used to being in that position, coming from behind, and they've done it so well, and you stub your toe, and you don't do it. You don't want to do it. This is the week you'd want to do it, right? If you were going to stub your toe like that, do it now, do it early, learn from it, go on, run the table, win another Super Bowl, potentially. But I do think that they're not going to stub their toe. And I hate like hell going against, you know, JQ and Nas. I hate it. So I'm not going to. I'm going with the Bucks as well. Only because of JQ and Nas. I'm learning my lesson.
We got a nice little split right here.
It's the leverage play, man. You're getting points. It's the upset nobody expects, man. So you give it a shot, man. And I think they'll come in a little overconfident. Crazy Tom Brady is going to be yelling and cussing at everybody all week in focus. And I think they got a better shot than people believe. So I'm going with this.
Put a mortgage payment on that.
But you know the other piece of that is that they're playing the NFC team. So every time you see them get hyped up to play a team, it's been the Raiders, it's been the Ravens, where that depends either a division or series in the playoffs. Win or lose, I mean, maybe the win loss, but playing the NFC team, you don't have any tiebreaker kind of situation that goes into it where you do it with the Raiders and particularly the Ravens when they play the Ravens then. So I think you might come down off that a little bit in terms of some of your intensity if you're Kansas City because you're not playing another AFC powerhouse. You're playing an NFC team. And, yes, the wins and losses, but you look around, you're like, okay, Pittsburgh doesn't have any losses. They're going to be up there with us. But everybody else, you're like, you know, that went over the Raiders.
They are,
but I mean, with that gap between them and everybody behind them, it's like them and the Steelers, and then you've got a gap to me. And for them, you know, they've gotten hyped up for those AFC games, as they should, but you get as hyped up for those NFC games so they don't have the same level of intensity when it comes to the playoff season, is what I'm saying.
Okay, good call. Gary, I like how you went that direction too, man. Curtis, nice job, though. Are you going to wrap
Patrick
up?
Patrick Mahomes paid back against Tom Brady 2 years ago in the AFC Championship game.
Oh, here we go.
That's the overtime moves behind that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, after that phantom callback interception. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's a true call, too, Naj. Freaking phantom. Hey, Rob, let's do the we're going to do the fantasy shout-outs, and then we'll let you do your top 32 NFL prospects, if you will, too, so we can let JQ talk about who's the Bengals going to pick. We know that's going to happen, and maybe you're going to look at who the Falcons are going to pick because we're definitely guaranteed a top 10 pick right now, too. So we may not get our quarterback, Naj, but not just the first two picks here. Maybe like college draft. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. All right, fantasy shout-outs. We'll start off with league number one.
Damn.
We're going to go league number one, the biggest win of the week, Gentilly Hot Sasha's. My high school classmate, Corey Angeletti, lives in Atlanta now, the biggest win of the week. Beat Eagles Chick for Life, 150.04 to 98.58 in first place. Lions King at 9-2. This is Casey from Atlanta. His team is in first place. League number two, biggest win of the week was my team, Black Lives Matter, 154.74 over EP Diablo, 75.68.
Damn.
And Mark from New Orleans, his team, Boxcar Willie, 02, is at 8-3 in first place. League number three, the Kings team, 109.92. That's Julius from New Orleans. He beats Al's Coalholics, 109.92 to 69.70. JQ team is in first place. Ohio Players at 10-1. League number four, my team at the biggest win of the week, Flash Ford, 173.22 over Baby Got Backfield, 98. And my team, Flash Ford, is in first place at 9-2. So those are the fantasy shout-outs of the week. Thanks for all of our competitors. We're getting kind of close to the final stretch here for playoff seeding here in our fantasy football leagues. And we'll be having an invite soon for our fantasy basketball draft as we, NBA training camps are starting next week. Wow.
Yeah.
Five damn points. Five damn. I just need my kicker to have five damn points, and I would beat JQ.
Yeah. And I'm in five fantasy leagues, and the only one I lost was the JQ.
Yes, sir. I had to have something after I lost Burrow. Give me something on Sunday, buddy. Good God Almighty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was a ridiculous game that me and Dre had.
Yeah, we were going back and forth, man. I was like, man, I was happy. Man, I didn't get nothing, man. That was – anyway. Hey, Rob,
listen, I was out watching that game. When he hit Travis Kelce for that touchdown, because that fool has Kelce and Mahomes. When he hit Kelce with that touchdown, I was so hot. Ooh, I was hot.
Hey,
I thought it was over, too.
Who had Taysom Hill at tight end?
Right. Yeah, somebody did, yeah.
In our leagues, it wasn't set up that way, but I heard it was some leagues you could have picked him up and played him at tight end, which was like, wow.
Yeah, and they changed it, so they changed it after this week. They only got to listen to quarterback.
Somebody got to – we got to do like a two-quarterback league, Rob, at some point. We can, that'd be kind of fun, too, or something crazy like that. That just makes it more fun. Hey, do the top 32 – what are we looking at? The top 32 NFL prospects, if you will, Rob. Stay tuned.
Oh, yeah, let me get to my notes here. Well, I mean, obviously, there's no changes here at the top. You know, we still got Trevor Lawrence, at the number one spot. We got Justin Fields at the number two spot. You know, Penei Sewell, Cincinnati, has got to find a way to get him. I got him as the number three overall prospect in the draft. You got to build that offensive line. You got to protect Joe Burrow. You got to be able to run the football. He's got to be the guy that the Bengals are targeting. And you talk about the Falcons with quarterbacks. I got Zach Wilson from BYU at number four. So you got three quarterbacks in the top five now. And, I mean, he's really climbing up the draft charts. And so you got Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilson in the top four right now. Jamar Chase, wide receiver from LSU. I got him at number five. You know, there was a lot of question marks on, you know, him sitting out the season. But I guess when you look at what happened with Jalen Waddell, this probably was a smart decision for Jamar Chase. Patrick Surtain from LSU. I'm sorry, not LSU, Alabama. Yeah, Micah Parsons, Penn State. Gregory Russo, edge rusher from Miami. Kyle Pitts, tight end from Florida. He's back this weekend for Florida after missing a couple of games. One of the best pass catchers in this draft. Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State. Khalil Farley, cornerback for Virginia Tech. Let's see, you got Dylan Moses, linebacker, Alabama. Jalen Waddle, I still got him pretty high up here in the draft, wide receiver, Alabama. Wyatt Davis, interior offensive lineman from Ohio State, probably the best interior lineman in the draft as of right now. Mac Jones, another quarterback. You got five quarterbacks here that's going to go really high in the draft. And then you got Kyle Trask. So right now I got six quarterbacks here. Within almost the first half of the draft as of right now. So you got some quarterback prospects that Atlanta and Dallas will have to highly consider here depending on where they're picking in this draft here. I did move Travis Etienne, running back from Clemson, into the first round, the only running back in the first round. I moved Terrence Marshall, wide receiver from LSU, in the latter part of the first round as well. But it is updated on our Talking Sports page, too.
I know you took Sean Wade's ass off that first round. That dude should have left. He didn't cost himself all kind of money to come back to Ohio State. Indiana just roasted him on Saturday. I was like, dude. I figured it was going to hit the other dude. They just tore his ass off the frame on Saturday. I'm sitting there like, wow. But, yeah, you talked about the Bengals. It's got to be that. It's got to be that dude. You got to find a way to get that big tackle from Oregon to book in, because you got Jonah Williams from Alabama 2 years ago. You got to do that, and then you get some competition. You sign some dudes to play in the interior, and you got to keep Burrow upright. But they've got to. Don't trade out of that. Take that big dude. Let him be the anchor on that left tackle for the next 10 to 12 years and roll with it.
What about the Cowboys, Rob? Who are they going to get? What about the Cowboys?
I told you.
That.
Depending on one of them, depending on where they're picking, you know, one, the quarterback's probably going to be up for consideration there. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
There you go.
One of those quarterbacks is going to be up for consideration.
Well, right now, the Cowboys are thinking they're going to win the division.
They could.
Sorry.
You're right. They only half game back. The Eagles 3-6-1. How about every team in that division is in the running right now? Because the Eagles are 3-6-1 and everybody else is 3-7.
Yeah,
so why not the Cowboys?
That Dallas Washington game is.
Cowboys Stadium for the first game of the playoffs.
Oh my God. What were you saying?
Bringing Dak back. He already heard Jerry Jones say he was bringing Dak back. He said, you know what? He broke that ankle. That broken ankle just saved me about $50 million. Jerry Jones said, we're bringing Dak back at 50 cents on the dollar. Don't believe if you don't want to.
Oh, gosh. Man. Is Rob good? I know that looks like everyone's kind of frozen. Nas, you got anything to say on this bad boy? Or no?
You know me, man. I don't watch college, so I always just ask Rob.
Yeah.
Are you still counting that old dude from out there in Utah? Because I don't know about that guy. But.
Zach Wilson is like 50 years old, man. Yeah, Zach Wilson. We don't want him. We don't want him.
Yeah. He's not that old. You sound like Stephen A. Smith when he's talking about Taysom Hill, man. He's 30 years old when he's seen him throw 20 passes in the league.
Oh, if I was Stephen A., I would have used his hustle move when he can't think of names and he say, and those guys or them boys. You know, the Utah guy and them boys. And da, 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 when he can't remember a name, even though he's a paid journalist with notes and everything else and a teleprompter. But, you know, whatever.
Did y'all see his Twitter reaction to the Knicks draft pick?
Yeah, he was high.
No.
Yeah. Stephen A. is just too dramatic, man.
he's over the top. Like, man, there's here, then he just is. Cow jumped over the moon. That shoot is way over the top.
Damn. Over time, but how many forwards can you have?
Yeah, he went crazy.
That was pretty good, Rob.
I heard this weekend. Washington State had a bunch of people with the COVID, and they had to cancel the Apple Cup. They got an Apple Cup in Washington. So Washington was looking for a game this weekend, and they contacted BYU. And there was a time that BYU said they'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. But they said no to Washington this weekend.
Well, I blew that theory.
Yeah, I blew that theory right out. BYU did not want to play Washington this weekend. To cover for
that was BYU. That ain't what the BYU coach said. They had him on the college rankings show, and he was hot. They got put at 14-9-0, and he was basically trying to throw it back on Washington. So I don't know. I guess the truth lies in the middle somewhere. But he was hot.
They asked him. They didn't come. Washington was ready
for
him.
I'm just telling you what I saw him say on TV this evening.
Just so you all know, Zach Wilson, the quarterback of BYU, is 21 years old. So he must not have taken the Mormon mission.
He said, oh, hold on, I'm out.
I want to see the birth certificate. I don't believe he's 21, and I don't believe Serge Ibaka is 30. So I want to see those.
Yeah, no, Serge Ibaka is all of 36.
The only 21 is that little. Oh. Got to use the Grecian formula on his beard.
Yeah. Yeah, he got that 2-for-1 with Obama, I guess, on those state birth certificates, because there's no way Serge Ibaka is 30 years old, bro. No way.
You cannot prove it. You cannot prove that. Hey, we got about 15 minutes here. You guys are cracking
me up.
That
is hilarious.
We got a lot of tops to discuss. I don't know, Gary, you guys will talk about what's been happening, Karrion Curtis with Portland, if you will, on the NBA free agency side. And then I know we want to wrap this up just to get some time for the show, too. So you got a couple topics you guys want to kind of elaborate on, let you guys have the floor because there's some things about Ohio State, Northwestern, and little things like that, too. So, Curtis, Gary, I don't know if you want to talk about what's been happening on the NBA free agency front for the Trailblazers, or if you want to, you know, spill off the floor is yours, if you will.
Well, with the Portland Trailblazers, they, you know, they got some good reviews from these sports guys on who they re-signed, who they brought in. You know, they brought in, Robert Covington, Derek Jones Jr. Of course, they re-signed Carmelo. Cantor's back with us now again.
Rodney Hood's back.
That Harry Giles, or I think
they Harry Giles.
I think they made some moves where they can actually play, you know, have a small forward and have a full, you know, a power forward, whatever. And they're playing true positions. Portland hasn't had those types of scenarios in a long time. I think, you know, and it all depends on health and that sort of thing throughout the year. But if they stay healthy, I think they can be one of the, you know, competitive teams in the Western Conference. I think they can be 2, 3, or 4 in the West.
JQ.
That's right.
He was the same reaction he gave Andre about
the Hawks. JQ? You got him? Okay. So you think Houston's going to be better? They're not going to be better. You think Oklahoma's going to be better than them? They're not going to be better than the Blazers.
Gary, you need to stop going against JQ, man. He told you about Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
That's true.
Sports cages.
Oh, my God.
No, that's not funny. Both LA teams, Denver.
Okay, we're not afraid. We're afraid of one LA team.
And I think the word is out with the Clippers.
Yeah, we got Paul George.
They're a little flaky. I think the Clippers are just too flaky.
I can't.
Everything they got going on in Clipperland.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know what? A flake will break your heart every single time.
I just think Denver and Phoenix are the two other teams, other than the Lakers, that I think Portland has to really worry about in the West.
But Gary also Gary also thinks that we got
enough. You don't think Utah's
in
that mix?
I think Utah's all right. Yeah.
But Gary thinks that
Utah
we got
just got
people
Derek Favors back.
Gary thinks we got people that can take care of Draymond Green.
And I don't think Detroit, you know, where
look,
I mean,
look,
I,
four, 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 five, six is realistic, but this is a good offseason for them. Those are all great signs, especially Covington. Covington running pick.
I like the Covington move.
Dame is going to be nasty. Covington will hit a lot. He'll hit a nice percentage from three running that pick and pop with Dame. But this is what you can do. So you got two max guys, Dame and CJ. If this doesn't work, guess what? CJ is going to get shipped out of town and you rebuild it again. But for now, you know, you added pieces and you roll with it. It's a good squad.
Yeah. They're a playoff contender. There's no doubt about it. They, you know, what their seeding is going to be is, you know, up in the air. They're a contender to make the playoffs. There is no doubt about it. As Naj just mentioned, Covington is going to get it. He's a D3 guy. He's going to play defense and he's going to hit the three-pointers. So that's going to be a big addition. And you got to bring Carmelo off the bench now. You got to have Covington in that starting lineup and bring Carmelo off the bench to give you some corn
off
the bench there. So I think that's what you're going to need in order to be, you know, to move up slightly. Well, Portland was an 8 seed last year. If they're going to move up to at least a 6, they're going to need to have Carmelo to come off the bench and have, you know, Covington getting it done on both ends of the floor for you. Carmelo didn't play no defense. You can forget that. I mean, he can't guard not one of us on this show. He can't guard a statue. You know, we've been saying that for years. So, I mean, you want him to come off the bench.
I think he could shut you down. I think Carmelo could shut you down. The rest of us, I think we can handle it. I think Carmelo could shut you down.
Melo can't stop me in his sleep. I mean, in my sleep, man.
Melo will be happy to run with the second team if it means more shots, which it probably will. So, I think he'll be fine with that.
Yeah,
and again, I'll let this go, but I wasn't trying to be funny. If you look at the way the standings ended, Lakers, Clippers, Denver, Houston, Oklahoma City, Utah, Dallas, Portland. I'm with you. Houston takes a step back. Oklahoma City takes a step back. So you to move from 8 to 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oklahoma City goes out of the playoffs altogether. I mean, they just pretty much destroyed the whole team.
Yeah.
I mean, you lose Steven Adams, you lose Chris Paul. You got to think Phoenix is going to be in the mix right now, right? You get Chris Paul. You get Jay Crowder as well, you know, a nice role player there. You get Dario Saric as well, and the underrated Langston Galloway, who can really shoot the ball coming off the bench too. So you got to think they're going to be in the mix when you got Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton as well. So you got to think that they could be a team that could move up into the playoff contention.
Paul's hamstring ain't going to let that happen.
And,
right.
You know, the Hawks are going to be a championship team, but you got to like the moves that they made, though. I mean, it is a step for them. But, you know, they can probably get to that sixth spot in the Eastern Conference, somewhere in that 6th to 8th spot in the Eastern Conference
in Atlanta. They're trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah, Andre, run back in the camera,
Young.
Man. Something.
Right. They're trying to make the playoffs so they can convince Trae Young that this is a place he can stay. It's a destination not for him to leave. So that's the whole purpose of the move going forward, to lock him down and then add pieces as they go forward. But OKC, last year, Sam Presti was trying to tank last year. He didn't know Chris Paul had that much left in the tank. He ruined the tanking season. So Sam Presti said, the hell with that. We're going to tank for real, for real. Ain't no way in hell we're making the playoffs.
For real, for real. That was his plan last year. Damn you, Chris Paul. You're right.
He got rid of Dennis Schroeder. He got rid of Chris Paul. He got rid of Steven Adams. And probably missing two or three guys he got rid of. He got Al Horford, though.
It was like Major League. That dude was up in the box watching them games, mad as hell. Damn, they won again.
Yeah. Right. You're right, too. That's exactly what's going on. Oh, man.
JQ, you're talking. You must be on mute.
We can't hear you.
You were talking.
What'd you do?
You look like one of the Chinese movies, the karate movies, man.
Cut him off. Go ahead.
But
go ahead,
even the Lakers, you know, you look at the Lakers with Montrezl Harrell, you know, re-signing Kentavious Caldwell, and getting Dennis Schroeder and Marc Gasol were solid role players. But Marc Gasol, I mean, you know, he looked beat up this past season. So, I mean, at best, he's just a role player. But Montrezl Harrell was an incredible pickup for the Lakers, though, and getting Dennis Schroeder, too, was, I think, some shrewd moves.
Yeah, they got Trez Pacheco. Dennis Schroeder is a real elite guard. He's going to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Gasol's just on the team for if they get Denver or whoever in the playoffs. Like, he's just there for that. That's the only reason he's there.
And if you can get something out of Wesley Matthews, as we see in New Orleans, that's Lanyap. He could be a solid player, solid wing player, solid defender, too. You got to give the Lakers some credit there. I mean, they didn't get another star, but they did make some nice additions to that team as well. The Gordon Hayward move for Charlotte, that's one that I'm really curious about. You know, is this one of them another Michael Jordan moves, like when he drafted Adam Morrison and it turned out to be a bomb? I'm not saying Gordon Hayward is as bad as Adam Morrison, but you have to wonder, paying him 4 years for $120 million. I know he averaged 16, 17 points a game last year, but is he still an elite player? And so that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. Charlotte got to overpay for everything, man. That's just what it is. You want a free agent, you're going to have to overpay him, bro.
Yeah. I can even say that about the Pelicans. Brandon Ingram had a heck of a year, but, you know, is he a max player? 5 years. Pelicans just gave Brandon Ingram 5 years, $158 million. I can even question that. You know, not questioning keeping him. But, I mean, we definitely want to keep him, but do you keep him at the max price? And,
GMs are crazy, bro. They're crazy. I wouldn't give Van Fleet $21 million a year. I like Van Fleet.
for $21 million a year?
No chance. I could never be a GM. I'd be looking at dudes like, nah, bro. There's only so many people that make over $20 million a year. He ain't one of them.
Yeah, man, they dishing out money like we don't have a pandemic going on right now, man. Like, the NBA is dishing out some money right now. Like, wow. Mm-hmm.
They dishing out money and crying broke at the same time. Funny how that
happens. Yeah, yeah. I was like, wow, it's like, you know, it's like we don't have a pandemic. And I don't know what's going to go, what happened with the Rockets, with Russell Westbrook and James Harden. It seemed like they both want to go. I mean, but they quietly made some nice additions with Christian Wood, and then we don't know what DeMarcus Cousins' health is like. But they got a couple of bigs there, you know, if DeMarcus Cousins is healthy, they could possibly help them. But, you know, all indications are Harden and Westbrook wants out. Where are they going to go? It's going to be interesting. You know, how does the Nets, you know, squeeze in James Harden here?
Yeah, that's crazy talk, man. They better not do it. Well, Harden is different than Westbrook. Harden wants to leave.
Yeah,
Westbrook is doing the classic, I didn't get fired, I quit. Like, they were going to trade Westbrook.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Hey,
Tristan Thompson with the Celtics, that's going to be interesting to watch, too.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Cousins is finished. He was finished a while ago. He can't jump over it.
Hey, Haywood dropping off. He signed with the Haywood going to the Hornets. You know, obviously getting out of that to his deal, kind of the option. That was an interesting move for the Hornets too. They have to. The Hornets have to get rid of Nicholas Batum. That was pretty big when I was in Charlotte. So, you guys get Nicholas Batum back? You guys Trailblazers or what? You guys done with them or what?
I don't know anything about that. I hope not.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, he was once with us. He was, you know, quite a bit younger and everything. You would go one game where he would just fill the stat sheet. He'd have 20 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 steals, couple blocks.
And
the next game, he'd have 3 points and 4 rebounds in 30 minutes. You know,
same guy in Charlotte. Same guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, same guy. No, I'd rather have that guy that's going to get 15-8, you know, and just play consistent. You know you're going to get that every week. You never knew what you were going to get. You know, so I wouldn't want him.
But one thing I can say about Portland, everybody they have wants to be there. And that's a big thing.
Yeah, we'll see, man. Got old Inez Cantor back. It's all good.
Andre's got the music going, so I guess that's the end of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Hope everyone has a happy, blessed, and safe Thanksgiving. We all have a lot to be thankful for. Make sure you take that time and give thanks. Once again, next week, we should be back on our normally scheduled night on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, it should be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our friends in Honolulu. That is going to be 5 p.m. We'll be back on the air on next week. Obviously, Talking Sports, NBA training camp starting, another week in NFL down, another week in college football down. Be safe, people. Wear your mask. Cover your nose and your mouth. Wash your hands, social distance as much as possible, and don't eat too much on Thursday. Good night, people.
I tell you what.
I don't want to eat that much, I promise. I'm going to really take it easy this year.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I am not going to. I'm thankful for all of y'all and family and health and everything, but I know one thing. Kirby Smart is thankful for the College Football Committee. How in the hell is Georgia ranked number 9 and they 5-2?
Oh. They were on my overrated list. I know we didn't get to that topic, but Georgia, Oklahoma State, and North Carolina was on my overrated list. Yeah, but JT Daniels did look good this past week.
Oklahoma got 2 losses, they're 11th. Indiana got 1 loss, to Ohio State, they 12th. I was like, come on, committee. Come on, buddy.
Yeah,
sorry,
they missed on those.
I didn't quite get that. But yeah, man, y'all be safe and be easy this week. I'm sure we'll be texting while we're watching these games.
Notre Dame on the road over North Carolina. It's going to be close, but Notre Dame pulls it out.
Come on, buddy.
And,
North Carolina's a basketball
just to let,
school.
Just to let
Cowboys, are you in first half or third half?
Peace to you.
Make sure that's make sure we don't run into some Nas. Nas, we're coming back on Wednesday, bro.
All right, I got you. Wednesday is going down.
You got to keep up with us now.
Good holiday, man.
Yes, sir.
Good to see you, guys, again.
Happy Thanksgiving. Y'all see that video I sent y'all? That's how I'm going to be scooping up that mac and cheese.
Uh-oh.
That was hilarious, by the way. Whenever Rob said that, I was cracking up. Yeah.
You saw that video, JQ?
He was getting it.
No.
I sent it on Facebook Messenger.
Oh, yeah, I don't use that, man. Facebook Messenger is the devil.
I'm shimming.
That's how I'm going to be scooping up that mac and cheese on Thursday.
Oh, man.
Put that thing in your phone and have 25 different viruses right after you get a message. Nah, bro, I don't send me nothing on Facebook Messenger. I don't even know.
Send it to the regular one, Rob. That was funny, man. I was cracking up, man. So, you know,
That was a funny video.
That's how the mac and cheese I've been making. See, I'll make some mac and cheese as well, man. It's gonna be lit, man. We have some fun, man. So, yeah, man. Good time. Curtis Gary, appreciate you, nice hat. Keep it up, guys. We will text throughout the week. Curtis and Gary gonna talk about America's team, but again, we're gonna see the play game. We'll set up.
Gee, first place on the line with that Cowboys Redskins game. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
First is one.
Yeah, let's
see
it.
I can't. Hey, Rob, you're on the East Coast now, man. So you ready to go to sleep, aren't you?
Yeah. I got a little bit more work to do, though. So I'm going to be on the laptop for a little while. But I don't have to get up early tomorrow, so I'm good.
He back there watching Shaft on TV.
That's why you focus on your butt, buddy.
You back there watching Shaft? What you got on TV back there?
ESPN 2, man.
I can't see that. That's just the first thing that came to my mind.
It looks like Shaft. You said he watches Shaft back there. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. The block
this East Coast is rough, man. I'd take me a nap before the show, man.
That's why when you get old.
I didn't have to do that a whole lot when I was on the Central Time Zone, but now I'm on the East, man. I got to take a little nap sometime.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Welcome to our world.
Gentlemen, have a great week. Post those pictures for Thanksgiving too, man. Again, be safe with the family and friends, okay?
Sure.
Peace.
Be safe. Good.